choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Look at what's happening to him in verse 4. Deliver me out of the hand of the wicked, out of the unrighteous and the cruel man. What are they doing? Verse 10. My enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait take counsel together. What are they saying? God has forsaken him. In other words, the people have completely written him off. They're looking at him and saying, he's useless. If he's like that, how could God really care about a person in that kind of state? What purpose does he serve in life? He's nothing. And that has brought about all sorts of pain. That has brought about all sorts of cries, you know. And maybe because the psalmist didn't realize, and I think this is just true, we don't realize that life only gets harder the older we get. We have this dream that it's going to get better. I've got news for you. It's not going to get better. It's going to get harder. He's experiencing this. He's experiencing a sense of rejection. And what does rejection bring? Rejection brings a sense of loneliness. He's alone. Everyone's written him off. Think of the burden here. His situation, his strength, his body has become so weak. The people who once knew him chalked him off as someone that God has forsaken. Very similar to the problem with Job and his friends. Look at that man waste away. Do you remember what he used to be in his former glory? This comes into the minds of people. Who loves? Who cares for these people? It's a real trial that we probably don't appreciate enough that our older brothers and sisters face. No strength. You feel the awful pain of being alone. And if you want to get a sense of that, walk down the aisles of the convalescent homes. These were the people who built your community years ago. Look in their rooms. You can hear the pain. Who takes notice of it? I've seen God strip very powerful men and take everything. I've seen it in the ministry. It's hard to minister to. Is God with these people? You may not wrestle with this right now, but you probably will. What do you do at this moment? What do you have at this moment? There's something else happening here. The second real struggle. Do you hear in the cry something else? Don't forsake me when I'm old and gray-headed. I hear a concern in that. What is it? There's a fear there, isn't there? There's a real fear that this older person is feeling. Don't let me be put to shame. I don't want to fail in my old age. It's remarkable how many older people in the scriptures didn't finish very well. In this psalm, the dying saint is recalling his life, his past, his choices. And you know, when you stare death in the face, when you're at the very end and you're looking back, you know, you look over your life, there's a lot to think about. There are moments of real joy. There are moments of embarrassment. There are moments of loss. And then you have to deal with the struggle of the stupid things you did when you were young and the sins of your youth and guilt. Can be a terrible thing that people go through. The slideshow before your life, of your life at the very end, can bring despair, can it? Remembering is not so attractive at the end of a long life that's been lived in rebellion. But that's not what he's doing. And I think that's a teaching point in and of itself. Ultimately, that is not what he remembers, does he? This is so instructive this morning. This is so helpful for all of us here. And you know what I would have titled this psalm? A psalm for the youth. This is for the young people to consider. Over against all of the failures, he's asking the Lord to strengthen him. And And what does he pray? What is he thinking about? I want you to notice this. You're really going to see why this psalm is so precious to the older saints. To be forsaken of God would be one of the worst things to go through. But he calls to the Lord. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. I put all of my confidence. My whole being rests in you. You're the longing of my heart. Notice verse 3, be my rock of refuge to which I may come continually. In verse 3, his face shines. You've given the commandment to save me. So at the end of life, where is he going? What's he doing? Think of the contrast here for a moment. Think of Michael Jordan just for a second. Jordan, greatest athlete, looking at his glory fading, and here's a believer looking at the same thing. Two different paths. Two different ways. What's Jordan looking at? Jordan's looking back and he's looking at an idol of the past that he thought brought him satisfaction. It never really did bring satisfaction because it's stuck in time, by the way. But he thinks it brought satisfaction. And so he clings to that with the glory day stuff. You know? We all like that song, Glory Days. He's looking at that. He's thinking about that. And what's happening? He is getting angry. He's bitter. That's what the writer of ESPN noted, that the whole thing is dispersed with an angry Michael Jordan. He's 50 and he says, how can I enjoy the next 20 years without so much of this consuming me? And that's exactly why people who age, when you see people, some of them are very miserable people, angry people. It's hard, very hard. They're bitter. They've lost something they desperately are trying to hold on to. What is the psalmist looking at? What is the psalmist looking back? He's going back over life and he's considering what it was like and what does he see? All of his glory is gone, but there's something far different here. He's realizing something about his past that he didn't always see so clearly. What did he see looking back? What is the truth of the matter? Look at verse 5. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. So he begins to look back and he says, when I was a youth, I remember seeing your working. And you can put it in these terms. I remember standing up and professing faith in the Lord as a young man. I remember that. You were my hope then. I believed. I remember that. Do you remember that? Remember the joy? That's what profession of faith should bring. It should bring a joy. What the Lord has done in you and how he's been faithful. And you're standing up and saying, I believe. He's struck with God's power. But that's not where he stops. Where would you expect him to go? From the moment I made the decision and now go forward. But he doesn't do that. He starts from the moment he had an understanding and he works backwards. Notice what he says here. What he says. He doesn't go from his decision for the Lord. He moves backward to the time before his birth. It's a period when he had what? Absolutely no strength. Think about this. What was the truth of the matter? I have leaned upon. The word means I have been supported. I have been supported by you from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. I think the psalmist must have stopped and thought, I didn't bring about my birth. I didn't put myself in the womb. And he's looking back. I didn't profess in my own power. Using the words of the Apostle Paul, remember Paul was Saul, who for years wasted his life persecuting Christians. Remember what Paul would say? The Lord set me apart before I was born, Galatians 1. And he called me by his grace, and he was pleased to reveal his son to me. Paul looked back, and what did he say? There's no way I got here on my own. From birth you knew me. From birth you knew me, formed me, preserved me. And look at where I am today. David is saying this. Here's what he realized looking back. You have been my strength the whole way through. Now, that's a really important point this morning, because I don't think he always realized that. I don't think I always realized that. Where do young people find their satisfaction? Well, the Proverbs tell us. Young people, where do you find your satisfaction? The glory of young men is their strength. That's their glory. Proverbs 20. And here he stands at the end of it all. At the end of it all, with no strength. And what's he saying? What's he saying? Any amount of strength that he ever enjoyed, strength that really mattered, was never something he produced. You get that? It's never something he produced. Former strength is not to speak of man's greatness after he dies as being able to put a ball in a hoop. That's not strength. Strength that matters comes from the Lord. And you hear what he's saying? He had come to know that all of his life, God's favor rested upon him. And now he sees it. Do you see this? He's always been with you. I don't know how many here, my guess, I won't make you show hands, but how many have been blessed to be nurtured and trained and raised up in the Christian faith? Quite a few. And we tend to look at the great conversions that happen later as the extraordinary thing. But I'll tell you what God's normal way of working is, which is really extraordinary, is this. And I don't know how much you've given thought to it, but how common is all of this to us, you know? How common is all of this to us this morning? Bibles, schools, pastors, church. And do we really stop and ever think that this is God's manifest evidence that he's among us? The sadness of Jordan, when he says, I was going so fast through life, think about this. I didn't have time to think about the things I was encountering. What was Michael Jordan encountering that he found satisfaction in? A ball. Do we have to wait till 90, if we make it to that age, to realize what we are encountering? Ever think about what you're encountering as God's people? From birth, the Lord says, I love you and I want you to put your sign on your children so that you know that. And all the way, I want you to teach them that they belong to me. And I want you to know that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to hold out for you grace. I'm going to hold out for you spiritual food every Lord's Day. And that's the whole way through. Jordan asks, how can I find peace away from the game of basketball? The Lord says, my peace I give to you. No one can take it. It's almost as if worship today is a burden to us. And here is my generation, because I did it, chasing Jordan's dream with their children. Think about it. Here is my generation. I did it. I climbed up as high as I could get and only got to D2. And today I suffer in the knees. Do you think about what we're really encountering? All of us are going to be in this position, but which one are we going to be in? That's the question. When you face these things, you either get really bitter by the outcome of what's been taken from you, and it could be a million idols, or you will stand in awe that through it all there was one who has always been your rock. That's what he says. You are my rock. One who knew you from the womb, one who's carried you the whole way through, and all of your failures to fill your heart with living water, one who stands outside of time, not like a dead idol that doesn't speak and that doesn't move and that cannot satisfy. One who has promised to be with you and encourage and help you and give you lasting peace. I just don't think that such a realization of that and a life of praise should begin at 90. Do you? You see what he's saying? Since this blessing is all that I've ever known, and this is what I've enjoyed, now that my hour of trial has come, don't forsake me. And I think this is the heart of the song because, think about this. This is the heart of the song because we see that this truth of what Christ has been to him and for him brought him to the realization of something very important this morning. Do you know what it is? The curse has brought death. And guess what? Life is decreation. That's what's happening to you. You're being decreated. That's what death is. But how does the Christian view this? The unbeliever experiences judgment. What about the Christian? You know, the whole process of death tells a story. We get the opportunity to show the world that there is the greatest meaning in the decreasing of our life. We get to show the world that there is the greatest meaning in the decreasing of our life. What does the psalmist realize? He has nothing. Everything's taken, all of his strength, and having that, he has everything. And so this changes everything for the time that's left. He's invigorated for the present. Is it true that we're useless when we're old? I'm already having gray hairs, and I think about these things. Is it true that we're useless when we're old? He does two things to answer that for you this morning. Listen to the language, but I will hope continually. This is verse 14. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness and yours alone. Did you catch it? What has strengthened his heart? Over and over, he keeps saying, I'm going to tell of your righteousness, of your righteousness. Did you notice he joins it with salvation? Your righteousness and your salvation. I believe his eyes are so fixed on Christ. When his life was at an end, all he could speak about was the salvation of the Lord. And the psalm is moving to me because it shows us in the decreasing of ourselves to the lowest point, here is a man, former glory taken, no strength, he's alone, enemies are mocking him. There's confusion because of his sheer weakness, and he's realizing the whole time he's been bore on eagle's wings, and the strength, the Lord has been his strength. And that kind of weakness and decreasing of life, he is seeing the most clearly where his true strength lies. It's in our decreasing that Christ increases. Do you realize that? John said that. I must decrease and he must increase. And this is a peculiar blessing of old age. This is a peculiar blessing of old age. You get to teach us all about the decreasing of the self. I am so thankful in the ministry to have older saints come to me before they die. And they specifically warned me, Pastor, when you get up and you preach my funeral, don't you dare start eulogizing me. I've had this repeatedly in the ministry, and I'm always thankful for it. And then they'll say this, because everyone will know that the gospel I claim to believe, then it makes sense. Because being a sinner, I had confidence in the one who actually is righteous. Don't confuse everyone by making me sound like a savior of mankind. I'm not. What makes the Christian gospel so glorious is that God chooses to take such power and rest it upon those who have no strength in themselves. This is all over the Bible. So when the psalmist says, let me never be put to shame in verse 1, he understood that a prayer is answered in Christ because there's only one way you'll never be put to shame because behold, said Peter, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will what? Never be put to shame. The glory, there is a glory that awaits me, and he says that in verse 19. I know this is not it. For Michael Jordan, the ball is it unless he comes to Jesus. For the psalmist, you have, who have shown me, verse 19, great and severe troubles, you're going to raise me up again. You're going to bring me up from the depths of the earth. You're going to increase my greatness. You're going to comfort me on every side. There's the resurrection in the Old Testament. But here's the question I want to leave us with this morning. Does this mean that there's no purpose for our older brothers and sisters in the time we have left? There's one great challenge I'm going to give, and I'm going to throw it hard because the scriptures throw it hard. Verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. That's the most meaningful reason to be here, isn't it? Did you hear it? There's a whole generation in front of me that doesn't get this, doesn't understand this. They need to hear about the power that you have enjoyed throughout the course of your life if you're sitting here as an older brother and sister. They need to hear about it. And I'm going to challenge you. A lot of you are sitting here today. Why do you think you're here? What I've seen in the ministry is this. Too many of our older brothers and sisters check out. They've retired. They're done. They come to church. They do what they're called to do. But I want you to know that one of the greatest purposes the Lord has for you is that you would be the most Christ-like figures to the next generation. When you're not feeling well, when things have gone wrong in life, when you feel alone, when you feel pains, when you suffer, I understand that it's easy to complain. We can complain about life. That transfers to the church and sometimes to the pastor. I know. But I've seen the effects of that. And I've seen families, even parents who are extremely bitter with everything, and it transfers right on over into the children. And then they wonder why later on in life those children aren't there. I realize the younger generations are full of problems. Listen, my generation's full of problems. I know you feel that. I know you look at our generations and think, what a mess. I think, what a mess. But if you can identify with the goodness of the Lord that the psalmist is saying, if you can identify with this psalm, you've got a great story for us. And I want to hear it. They say that the old immigrants who came over on the boats, and it doesn't matter from what country, they didn't like to talk about their faith. I've heard that repeatedly in my ministry over the years. They just don't talk about their faith. And I say, how do you reconcile that with verse 18? This is your duty. This is what we need. And maybe the younger generation's not connecting because we need you. We need you more. Tell us about the Lord. Let us hear about what he's done in your life. Younger generations like mine and your children and our children, we're crying for help. Our priorities are wrong. Show us how grace translates to the Christian life because we need you. You don't have to look like them. You don't have to talk like them, and please don't act like them. But I can tell you that they want something real. And that they don't want us to take a giant broom and sweep away all the cigarette butts, just casting before us a veneer. You've got a story. You know what Christ has done for you. Tell us. Give me an invigorated older generation that's filled with the gospel and willing to talk about it and invest time in our young people. We'll see them. We'll see them. It'll spill over because this is what God has told you to do. It's been rightly observed that the Christian church is one generation away from extinction. I've been distressed by that, studying Israel's history. I don't want to be in a convalescent home holding a ball. I don't want to be in a convalescent home holding medals of the past. I want to be there with the praise of God on my lips, don't you? Don't you want everyone who walks through those halls of the younger generation to hear that? The wonderful things that the Lord has done for you because he's been the strength of your life. Don't one run through life missing what you're encountering. I say this to all of us, to me. The younger generation has to think a lot about priorities. A lot about priorities. Stand today upon that rock who is Christ. And when tomorrow comes, the same peace that you've enjoyed all of your life will surround your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. As always, we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Do please visit our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe, maps to churches, and many, many resources there for you. So do please explore that website at agradio.org. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune in. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. The Escondido United Reformed Church is a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're thankful to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and would like to invite you to our Sunday morning worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. every Sunday. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. 1864 North Broadway is the address. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio.